you are here not just to make polite conversation, but also as the director of the Bonner County Historical Society Museum.
Indeed.
Which has had a very busy summer. You're also, of course, we should mention, the host of the Community Character Hour right here on this radio station, which will air a new one live on Monday, right? We'll be right back here.
Yeah.
Talking about City Beach.
Yeah. So even if you can't make it down there, if it's too rainy to go in person, you can listen in about the history of the beach.
Yes. Which is very interesting. I've been pleased to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show.
There's always some surprises.
But the Historical Society and Museum has had a very busy summer. Your big summer event, it seems to me, is the walking tours. That's your high visibility summer event. Is that probably
right?
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Uh-huh. We started them at the beginning of June. Mm-hmm. They're still going on. So there will be two more this season. And then we will hope to bring them back again next year. So they're a lot of fun. So we will have two more tours this year on August 23rd and 30th. So those are both Fridays, and the tours start at 2:30 in the afternoon. If you join the tour, you will meet up at Elevate Realty, and that's on First Avenue, close to Panhandle Cone and Coffee. That seems like the landmark everyone recognizes on that block. But Elevate's just a couple storefronts down at 212 North First Avenue.
Okay.
And we're so grateful to be able to partner with Elevate on this walking tour program. They have a really nice little gathering area in the front of their office where they've welcomed our visitors to hang out, enjoy the air conditioning, grab a bottle of water before we get started so they don't have to stand out on the hot sidewalk while they wait for the tour to start. So it's been a really nice partnership with them. If you don't know anything about the tours, you've never been on one before, it is a 1 hour long walking tour through downtown Sandpoint. It's only it's half a mile at the most, so not a lot of strenuous walking. There are lots of chances to stop, take a break, sit down. So it's pretty easy going. And while you're on the walking tour, we will have a tour guide who will regale you with all kinds of stories about the early history of Sandpoint, from the earliest days when the Kalispel were at City Beach as one of their summer encampments, up to when the railroads brought the earliest settlers into the area, the story of how the town moved from the east side of Sand Creek to the west side, and then a lot of the interesting characters who have lived here over the years. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. How long have you guys been doing the tours?
Years? Yeah, we did a few tours last year, but this is the first year that we've really had it going consistently every week throughout the summer.
Okay. The summer is nearing a close. What's the feedback you're getting? Is it positive?
Yeah, people have really enjoyed it. I think one of the reasons they enjoy it so much is because of the tour guides who lead the tours.
Yes.
I've led one, which was a lot of fun, but almost all of our tours are led by volunteers, and they are some of our best, I would say, scholars of local history. So they really know the stories that they're telling. They are open to questions. So if you are a very curious person and you are on the tour and you hear some wild tale and you want to know more, more often than not, they will just have that built up knowledge from being at the museum and doing research over the years to be able to answer your questions. And some of our docents have even have even throughout the summer started coming in to try to find extra little morsels of history that they think the other tour guides don't know to try to kind of like create a special spin on their tours. Uh-huh. So it's really created this nice program where each tour guide has, you know, the template of stories that everyone tells, but they're adding their own knowledge to it. So I remember someone asking me early on this summer, you know, saying, I really enjoyed the tour. I would love to come back and do it again, but will it be the exact same stories? Mm. And as our tour guides have crafted their own spin on it throughout the year, I would say each time you're with a different tour guide, you are getting a different experience. So yeah, it can be fun to come back and do it a second or even third time.
Cool. You mentioned it's about half a mile. Is that right?
Yeah, at the most. Okay. So the tour is an hour, but there are two possible extensions that we can do. One goes further down Cedar Street, and then one can go south on First Avenue down toward the courthouse mm-hmm. and the McFarland House, so toward that end of town.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
So those are optional. I think a lot of people decide to stick with the 1 hour just because...
Yeah.
Either it's hot or they have, you know, dinner plans that they're trying to get to. But that is an option if the group wants to carry on and do a little bit more. So that adds a little bit of some more steps to your, what are those step trackers that people use?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things.
I don't know. Isn't that a Fitbit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Oh, I'm thinking of the old fashioned ones that you like clip on your belt and then they like click while you're walking.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been a while. There's new technology.
I don't think anyone wears those anymore.
If you have one of those, bring one to the museum. We'll add it to the collection.
That's right. Yes. Let's see. You do have a registration page. I suppose it's always nice to know.
Yeah.
Get an idea in advance how many people are going to show up for any tour. So
absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So you can go to our website at bonnercountyhistory.org/tours mm-hmm. with an S, and that will take you to our landing page where you can register for our walking tours. You can also sign up for the City of Sandpoint's walking tour, and we have a couple of other self-guided tours on that page as well. So you can find out a few different ways that you can learn more about the local area.
What's the difference between your tour and the City of Sandpoint walking tour?
Yeah, so we do a tour every Friday,
mm-hmm.
and it is, we do charge ticket, there's a ticket price for it, so it's $15 for adults and $5 for kids.
Mm-hmm.
The city does a free tour once a month, which is the fourth Friday of the month at 10 a.m., and that is a little bit more focused on the architectural history of the town and historic preservation, but it does tell some of the, you know, stories of the people who lived here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one is free, but only once a month.
Yeah. Do you guys cover the same geography?
It's similar. Yeah. They're both in the downtown core of Sandpoint.
And by my calendar, both of them will be occurring tomorrow, August 23rd.
Exactly. So okay. You could do the city tour at 10 and then come back for the museum tour at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to mention, if you are a Sandpoint local, so if you have an 83864 zip code, you can get $3 off your ticket if you register through the City of Sandpoint Parks and Recreation Rec1 online portal. So if you are familiar with Rec1 from taking tennis lessons or maybe a dance class or something like that, you would go through the same system to sign up for the tour. And if you live in Sandpoint, you get $3 off. So that's a nice perk too.
That is a nice perk. Okay. You can, what else? I don't know. Can you tell us, you've guided one. Is that what you said?
I have. Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was great. We mm-hmm. had such a good group of people. And I know one thing that we've kind of worked on from that we discovered last year was mm-hmm. depending on the time of day, if there's traffic, sometimes it can be hard to hear. So we have this really cool, like, Madonna headset that uh-huh. the tour guides can wear. Some of them prefer not to look so stylish, so they choose to go without it. But I, as someone with a softer voice, I do find that wearing that helps project to the group. So that's been really good for the tour guides. And then if anyone is a little harder of hearing, it helps as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. And then it's just so fun to get to tell these stories because every building downtown has some quirky story that happened in it. And there are some buildings that aren't there anymore. One is the one that I think of a lot is the Farman School. That was where U.S. Bank is today.
Oh, really?
And the city parking lot. So that entire block where the parking lot and the bank are used to be this magnificent old school. It was 3 stories tall. And the top story was where the gym was. So it had all these beautiful windows, and that's where like the kind of gym classes would take place.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I just imagine, you know, being on one of the second floor classrooms and just hearing the of kids running across the gym.
On basketball day or whatever. What a cool place for like a sock hop.
Yeah.
For the school dance.
Absolutely.
Up there on the third floor.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be neat. What was your favorite story to tell on the walking tour?
You know, there are so many. There are some really, like, I think looking back from our perspective now, some of the squabbles that people would get into are really entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
There's one, I won't give it all away, but about how the Bridge Street Bridge and the Cedar Street Bridge came to be. That's pretty entertaining. But probably my favorite story is about this collie dog. And I had a collie growing up. That's probably why I love it. But this collie dog that worked at the Gold Medal grocery store. And so it would just it would be stationed by the front door. And its job was to open the door when ladies would come by for them. It was also trained to retrieve coins or handkerchiefs that people dropped. And I think it was, it would also run down the street a block to pick up the mail for the grocery store every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness. A collie.
I'm just picturing today if you call the post office and say, my package didn't arrive, and they say, well, we gave it to your dog, so you should have gotten it.
Well, we're talking to Hannah Combs. She's the executive director of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, who had a collie growing up. I guess that would be the dog to get, right? Because that's Lassie.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's
a classic.
The trainable dog. You wouldn't question if you saw somebody putting a package into a collie's mouth.
Exactly.
As opposed to like, I don't know, like a beagle, you'd be like, what's that guy doing? <It's> suspicious. All right. One more thing. You make a note here about the human fly. What's that story? Or is that,
well,
that's what you're supposed to ask
it's
to see
too,
if your tour guide can tell.
Yeah, it's too strange to reveal it all on the airwaves. But I think that's a good one. If you want to try to stump your tour guide, ask them if they know the story of the human fly. And I will give you a hint. It has to do with the building that is now Finn and McDonald's.
Okay.
So ask about the human fly and you'll get an outrageous
story. Okay. We have more to talk about. You have a big event coming up on September 15th, but I wonder if this is a good time to play a little music. One more time, the walking tours. There's only 2 left this year.
Only 2 left.
Details.
Friday, August 23rd.
Tomorrow.
And Friday, August 30th. At 2:30 p.m., you can get tickets ahead of time by going to our landing page at bonnercountyhistory.org/tours with an S. Tickets are $15 for adults, $5 for kids. And it's a great tour. So sign up if you haven't already.
Is this something that can sell out? Should people be worried?
Technically, I think we put the max at 22 people.
Okay.
Most groups are 6 to 10, and that seems like the sweet spot.
Okay. That's the next two Fridays, and that's it, folks. This is the last chance. We're going to talk a little bit about something coming up on Sunday, September 15th, a presentation at the Heartwood Center about David Thompson when we return from this brief musical interlude. On this date, 45 years ago, Led Zeppelin came out with their last album that was released while all four band members were still alive. In Through the Outdoor came out on this date in 1979. And I think, let's see if this hit number, did this go to number one? I can't remember. It was a single from the album, probably the one you recognize most off of In Through the Outdoor, something a little different from Led Zeppelin. Here's Fool in the Rain. We'll be back with more history talk here on The Morning Show in just a bit. Zeppelin, getting the lead out on Thursday morning. It is the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson here with Hannah Combs from the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, who was rather surprised to hear that song was a Led Zeppelin tune. And it's different from especially their early catalog.
Would have guessed Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm. That would have been that's a fair guess. It is, 1979, they were changing things up a little bit. Would have been interesting to see what happened to that band as time went on. But tragedy befell. We were looking at some other historical birthdays outside of the, it is Dua Lipa's birthday, outside of the music realm, Howard B. Cushing, American military officer.
Of course.
Yes.
That we all know and remember.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like this is a quiz I'm going to fail miserably at.
Yeah, wait, you would know, you're supposed to know these.
Yeah, of course.
Pretend.
Did he live in Bonner County?
He did not. Nothing coming up. I'm sure it is. What if it is one really famous person's birthday? Somebody's just yelling at their radio station.
Probably.
Well, happy birthday to you if it is your birthday. We're talking about history a little bit. We talked about the walking tours. The last two are tomorrow and then the following Friday. And then that's it for this summer. So get your tickets at bonnercountyhistory.org/tours if you're interested in going on a little walking tour of Sandpoint. Courtesy of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. If you're in the more of a sitting down type of historical mood, what is coming up on Sunday, September 15th at the Heartwood Center, Hannah?
We are so excited to be hosting Jack Nisbet. He is a renowned author and historian, probably the authority on early history in the Inland Northwest. He's written many books about this area. He's based in Spokane, and we are just over the moon to be able to bring him to Sandpoint for a presentation on David Thompson. Mm-hmm. So I could read just a little bit of Jack's bio, because sure. I think it speaks far more eloquently about him than I can.
Okay.
So Nesbitt has written award-winning biographies of cartographer David Thompson. That book is called Sources of the River. And naturalist David Douglas in The Collector. These works have branched out into illustrated volumes and even museum exhibits. His most recent project, The Dreamer and the Doctor, traces the unlikely adventures of plant lover John Lyberg and his physician wife, Carrie. In 2018, the Washington State Historical Society awarded Nesbitt with the Robert Gray Medal for distinguished and long-term contributions to Pacific Northwest history. His presentations have been described as educational, entertaining, and mesmerizing. And I have not seen him speak before, but just based on what I have heard, I would agree with all of that. I know the museum has brought if only we could bring David Thompson back. I know the museum has brought Jack Nesbitt to the area for different presentations in the past, but it has been, I think, over a decade since he's been here to do a talk. So we're just really excited to be able to introduce him to a new generation of Bonner County locals and give you the history of David Thompson and the early days from the in the voice of the expert.
Okay. You, of course, know who David Thompson is, but let's imagine there's some listeners who don't know the David Thompson story. Who briefly was David Thompson?
Yeah, so everyone is familiar with Lewis and Clark.
Yes.
Lewis and Clark.
Let's hope.
Yeah, and Clark came through Idaho, but not through this area. They came through Idaho south of here.
Mm-hmm.
Less well-known, but more insignificant to our area, way up north in the Panhandle, is David Thompson. He was an explorer in the early 1800s. He was hired by the Hudson Bay Company and then later the Northwest Company. He was a very accomplished cartographer or map maker, and so he was hired... at the time he was here, he was hired by the Northwest Company to come out and map a large portion of Western Canada and then also to try to find the Northwest Passage. So he explored a lot of the Columbia River Valley, even going up as far as our lake and river system up here as well. He started the Kullyspell Trading House or Trading Post, which was... in Hope. And so that was open for only 3 years, but it kind of established this area as a trading route and got more fur trappers and then later settlers moving into the area.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
And he was out here in 1809. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is shocking to me because Lewis and, I mean, that seems so early. Lewis and Clark having. They were 1803 or 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So very shortly after Lewis and Clark
Amazing.
Came through.
Yeah.
And they had never found the Northwest Passage, so or at least the completion of it. Mm-hmm. So he was sent out to try to do what they had been unable to do. Mm-hmm. And he got I don't want to misspeak. So just be assured that Jack Nesbitt knows a lot more about this than I do.
Uh-huh.
But I do believe that David Thompson found a few challenges that would prevent the Northwest Passage from being a viable solution.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. That's such an interesting, just the story of like the Northwest Passage is kind of an interesting, I don't know. It's an interesting idea. It was like a driving force behind a lot of the exploration, and they thought that you'd be able to get to this. Yeah, that there would be an easy way to get to the sea in some way.
Right.
Just,
Just that assumption that
in a continent
this vast, there has to be at least one way through, you know?
Right. And, not quite.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was nice of them to go looking.
Yeah. I love the story of David Thompson because it's one that is very relevant to us here in Bonner County, but mm-hmm. the story is also so much bigger than just us. So the life and travels of David Thompson extend throughout the Columbia River system and way up into the Northwest Territories up in Canada. So he traveled over 50,000 miles during his career on foot, horseback, or by canoe. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we learned recently that we're really excited to hopefully learn more about is his wife, Charlotte Small. She was the daughter of a Cree woman, and they have a pretty unusual relationship for that time because they were married for over 60 years. They had 12 children, and she and the children accompanied him on some of his trips. So typically they would come out with him and be stationed at one of the like forts or camps while he went out on canoe and explored further.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he, when he was out here, when he was establishing the Kullyspell post out mm-hmm. on the Hope Peninsula, was he a solo traveler at that time? Or was he in a party?
Yeah, he would have had a party with him. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how big it was, but typically...
You know who would know.
Yeah, we do know. Yeah. So take nothing that I say. Okay. Take it all with a grain of salt, and mm-hmm. then Jack will correct everything I've said. But I do remember mention of at least three or four other people with him that they mentioned by name, and there may have been more. Typically they would travel as a group. And one thing, if you want to get a taste of the David Thompson story before you go to the presentation, you can come over to the museum, and in our early years exhibit upstairs, we have a full-size replica of the David Thompson canoe. And a local man named Bill Brewster built the canoe about 25 years ago, mm-hmm. and he built it using David Thompson's original journal as directions. So in David Thompson's journals that he wrote on his travels, he said, you know, we're camped at this campsite. We have to build a canoe to get to this other place. And I'm going to write out exactly what I'm doing so I can do it again in the future if I need to.
Oh, cool.
And so it talks about how they hewed the cedar planks for it, how mm-hmm. they sealed the cracks with pitch. Mm-hmm. But you will notice if you go to the museum and look at the canoe that it is not finished. So it's not a complete canoe. It looks as if it's under construction. Mm-hmm. And that is because at one point David Thompson just stops writing about it. So maybe
interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe he's like, okay, I've got the hang of this.
Right.
I don't need to jot it down anymore.
Yeah.
But Bill Brewster, who built the replica, just stopped building it when he got to the end of the notes.
Right.
So it's not quite finished all the way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. So it stops where the notes stop. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Anything more we should say about David Thompson or Jack Nisbet?
Well, another good way to do your homework ahead of time, mm-hmm. if you're that kind of person, is by reading Jack's book, Sources of the River. Mm-hmm. Someone just gave a copy to me as a gift, and I've started reading it. I think it does such a brilliant job of breaking down, condensing the story of David Thompson, because Jack went and read all of David Thompson's own writing, mm-hmm. as well as lots of other source material. But the original journals are written in this very, to us, old-fashioned language. The spelling is different in a lot of ways, and so they're pretty difficult to read. So Jack has taken all of that information and written it in a really engaging way, so it reads as a much more fluid story about David Thompson. And I just realized this is the 30th anniversary of that book being published. So you can get a copy at most of the local bookstores and read up on it before you come to the presentation on September 15th.
Cool. Okay. Sources of the River. That's September 15th at 4 o'clock p.m., conveniently situated in the late afternoon.
Yeah, we're doing it on a Sunday at 4, hoping that, you know, people will be kind of easing off of their adventurous weekend, but can fit this in between whatever they've been doing outside and before dinner. So just a nice little afternoon presentation.
Okay. I'll be interested to hear how that goes. The afternoon timing of it, that is. I'm always wondering what time various events should be held. So that's let's try the afternoon. You have coming up, we're going to blitz through a couple more things here before I bring in Caitlin Shook to talk about what's going on this weekend in, you know, upcoming events at the Panada and elsewhere, who I see waiting in the wings. Your annual meeting fast approaches, the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. You guys are a nonprofit organization, and you have you must hold an annual meeting.
We do. We are a membership organization, so this is the members are welcome to attend any of our board meetings, but this is the annual meeting where we encourage all members to attend. Mm-hmm. It will be Tuesday, September 24th at 5:30 p.m. at the museum. This is where our members have the opportunity to elect board members. We have four positions open that we will be voting on at this meeting. If you are interested in serving on the board, please reach out to us as soon as possible so we can get you on the nominee ballot. And, you know, if you need an extra enticement to come out, we will have snacks. We have some excellent volunteers who are putting together a program for the meeting. So there will be food.
Snacks available at the Tuesday, September 24th, 5:30 p.m. meeting at the museum. Anything further you want to say about the snacks?
I'm excited for them.
Okay.
You know, it's always a highlight of any meeting.
Well, like cookies or more salty, savory treats?
If you have strong opinions about what the snacks should be, please email or call us. Okay. We would love your feedback.
Very good. And then your oral history kiosks.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yes. So last September, we opened the Come What May, We Will Play exhibit at the museum.
Which is cool.
It's really cool. And the whole project is sponsored by the Equinox Foundation. So we're really lucky to have their support on this. It's made a lot of technical aspects possible for us that we haven't really done before. And this is one of them. We met this incredible guy. So I love the serendipity of this. One of our board members met a guy in the neighborhood who just so happens to, for a job, design big audiovisual equipment and programs for really big museums. And his name's Jim McCabe. He has been so incredible and has helped us as a volunteer to set up some of these oral history kiosks. And so basically there will be three of them. We have two installed right now, and they just look like a TV screen, but you can go up and touch them, and they will play oral history recordings with photos from people's lives. So you can hear the stories of people who lived here in their own voices, which I think is a really powerful way to experience their stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Come check it out.
That's very cool. All right. That's at the museum itself. And for those who don't know, the museum is located where?
At 611 South Ella Avenue in Sandpoint. You may be more familiar by driving by Lakeview Park and seeing the big yellow caboose outside.
Yes, indeed. You have, let's see, hours?
Yeah.
Hours of the museum?
Yep.
When can people go?
Of course. We're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. And then the first Saturday of each month from 10 to 2. And the first Saturdays are free. Otherwise, admission is $4 for adults, $3 for seniors, and $1 for kids.
Okay. We're going to bring Caitlin Shook in here in just a minute. And I'm going to play some music in the transition. You can stick around if you want, or go about your day. You decide.
Well, it's been so nice being with you today.
Uh-huh.
And I will. I might stick around to hear what the Panda's up to.
Yeah,
they've always
do.
Got stick lots around. Of good
it's
events
more,
going on.
It's more
on.
Fun when there's when there's somebody else here. You can ask some interesting questions. We can play either John Lee Hooker or the Supremes.
Didn't you say it's John Lee Hooker's birthday?
It is.
Let's do that.
All right, here we go. We have John Lee Hooker. He was born on this date in 1917. Also, Honor Blackman, born on this date in 1925. English actress famous for the TV show The Avengers. More famous, you might know her from the movie Goldfinger.
Ah.
She plays a character whose name I will not mention on these airwaves. we're going to play John Lee Hooker, born on this date in 1917. He would be 100 and... What? What does that make him? 107 or something? He would be 107 today. Okay. We'll do that, and we'll talk upcoming events for the weekend in just a few minutes right here on The Morning Show.
Down, red all for your feet. Take you home with me.
Happy birthday, John Lee Hooker, and all the John Lee Hooker fans out there. Happy birthday to you too. This can be your birthday too on this day. He was born on this date in 1917. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson. Hannah Combs still here. We slid her down further on the couch. She's sitting over there next to Ed McMahon. And Caitlin Shook is now in the hot seat, chair number one.
It's hot.
Yeah. Tell us, Caitlin, what's coming up this weekend at the Panada Theater?
We have the original, I should know the year, but I don't, Twister.
Yes, from like 95 or 97.
Yeah.
Something like that. But 96? I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, have you seen that film?
Yeah.
96.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And they came out with a new one, and Rob had the brilliant idea, like, oh, we should show the original so people have seen it. But it's so interesting. The licensing companies don't allow you to show an original movie, the original of a new movie coming out, until like way later. Like almost left the theaters. It's so weird. Just feel like everybody would make more money because everybody wants like, oh, I need to refresh my memory
right
on the original.
It seems like that would be.
It's so interesting. But
right.
Anyway,
it would
so
get
they made
you excited
way
for the sequel.
Yeah.
You would think.
So now it's just the like, oh, I guess I'll go back now.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, we're hoping you come back to watch the original. I'm not really selling it, but
okay,
that movie is amazing. I don't know how the new one is. I didn't go see it.
You haven't seen it. Have you seen the new one?
I have.
Yeah. Is it good?
How was the new one?
It's good.
Is it? Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
I enjoyed it a lot, and I don't think I've seen the original, so
oh,
I have
come
to come and see the
oh,
first
it's so
one.
Good. Yeah. Helen
okay
Hunt and Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's this Friday at 7 p.m. $5, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
$5 movie series.
You know, the first one is cool because it takes place in 1996, but so they're not looking at their phone. I don't know how they do it in the new one,
yeah,
but
they
can't
of,
like GPS, you know, like just tell me how to get to this next town. Like there's a lot of like looking at the map and like cut through this cornfield and there's a secret road right here. Like, I don't know.
It's very kinda analog.
Yes, it's very analog. It makes for great movie to watch. And a lot of cool practical effects in that movie, too.
Yes.
Okay, so that's coming up this
Friday, the 23rd, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then this coming Tuesday, the 27th, we have our partnership with you guys.
Yes.
The KRFY Little Live Radio Hours happening in the Little Theater. Go live at 8 p.m., but they ask, and we ask get your butts in the seat by 7:45.
Yes.
And it's super fun. I've been really enjoying. I'm always the house manager for those, and I've just been enjoying so much Jack's curation of the local-ish musician that he gets to come in. It's so fun.
So this time we have, drum roll please, we have Alexa Wildish.
Love her.
Yes, who spent, I don't think she was born here, but she spent a lot of time here. And actually played once before for the Little Live Radio. She was like maybe our second or third guest. A few years ago. And then she went and hit The Voice on NBC.
And she did really well.
She did really well on The Voice. She's coming back and she's kind of touring the country with one of her Voice co-stars.
Oh, it's another Voice
Voice person. Lennon Vanderduz. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I should know that.
Or Vanderduz.
Yeah, we'll make sure of that before the Tuesday night show. But yes, that should be good, and it'll be kind of fun to have her back in the little theater to, I don't know, tell us how things have changed in her life, which I'm sure they have quite a bit. Okay, so that's Alexa Wildish coming up on Tuesday night. You can also tune in right here to 88.5 KRFY and listen to it live. Very excited to present that. Yes. And then what happens?
Then on September 6th, Friday, September 6th, we're bringing Jurassic Park.
Hey, that's another movie I've seen.
I know. Yeah, so excited for that. I first saw it in the theater too with Willie and Ricky Witte. And I remember Willie brought, it was summertime, but he wore a beanie so he could cover his eyes with the beanie when he got scared. Oh. It was very memorable. Oh, yes. It was amazing. That movie still holds up. It's so good.
It really is. Yeah. Jurassic Park is great. Good choice. Good summer flick.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one, Hannah?
Of course.
Okay, good.
I mean, the puppets are so impressive.
Yeah.
Are they puppets?
They're like animatronic. Yeah. I don't know if you call those puppets, but
yeah, I don't think they call them puppets.
Okay.
But
there's people in them.
Yeah. But they're they are
so amazing. September 6th, 7 p.m., $5, Jurassic Park.
$5. Okay, so Twister and then Jurassic Park, closing out the summer very strong. How was Dirty Dancing?
I was out of town, but we had like 150 people there.
Awesome.
Yeah, and the people the house manager said that everybody was just very joyful and cheered when he said, nobody puts baby in the corner.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. I love these classic films that we're showing because everybody just gets so pumped.
Now, how are you going to duplicate this next summer if you show all the good movies this year?
There's plenty of good movies.
All right. There's a couple more good movies. Okay. You got Jurassic Park coming up on the 6th.
Talk about our big fundraiser that we're doing together?
We sure can.
Even though it's already sold out?
We don't need to promote it all that much, but we can.
Still should give thanks.
It's exciting. Yeah.
We have Viggo Mortensen coming to show his newest film, The Dead Don't Hurt, on September 12th. It's already sold out, folks. So lucky to the people that got on it, but he's coming to be in person and do a Q&A afterward, and he's donating all the money to split between the Panda and KRFY. What a guy!
Yes. Excuse me. Yes. Sorry, you caught me off guard there with your enthusiasm. Yes. What a guy.
I can't wait to meet him. And he's done this several times before, at least once.
It always sells out, and I guess we should have known that it was going to happen. I don't know. There's a chance. Maybe you know somebody who's got a ticket and they don't want to. They accidentally have other plans for that night. So if you get a chance, you should definitely come to this somehow. Yes. If you get a chance.
Without sneaking in, because you won't have a seat and you'd be very obvious.
That's right. Yes. All the seats will be full. Everyone will know.
Yeah.
Cool, though. Yeah, yes. So I'm really excited for that.
Oh, that's on the 14th. Sorry, I said 12th.
Yeah. The Saturday the 14th. And do you have something going on?
We do. We have a big thing going on the 12th.
I knew it.
We just announced Ty Herndon, a classic old school country star.
Okay.
And he sounds really cool. He stands for a lot of amazing, really cool stuff.
Okay.
He was the first male country singer to come out back in the day. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't realize. Yeah. And he's got really great, lots of hits, and he's just like really stands for a lot of social justice causes. And
cool.
Sounds like a really cool guy.
Yeah. So okay, Ty
Herndon.
I don't know if we have any of him in our library. We could play that. I'll track it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mega hits from the 90s.
Yes.
90s so, country.
Ty Herndon coming on the 12th of September.
Right.
Very exciting.
Yeah, tickets are on sale now.
Okay.
Beautiful voice. So beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a plan.
We'll find Ty Herndon. All right. Well, I know there's lots more going on. You could probably announce all the way through like December if you wanted to. But anything else you want to bring our attention to right now?
Those are the highlights, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Thanks for dropping by. Thanks for coming in. Let me see. I'm going to pull up the current events calendar for this weekend. I feel like it's kind of winding down. Mm-hmm. Like after, it seems like it's been 6 weeks or so where every weekend there's something big going on. And now, finally, it seems like we're kind of slowing down. There's no big, huge events going on this weekend. Mm-hmm. The farmer's market, of course, continues.
Yeah, when do they go till?
They go, I think, through October. Yeah. But having been there sort of recently, I know that the produce is in. Mm-hmm. It's coming in. Mm-hmm. It's that time of year. Let's see. The Sandpoint Summer Series, that's tonight. Actually, I think we're going to be talking at 10 o'clock. Now I should do a little radio work here. I think at 10 o'clock this morning, right after the second hour of Democracy Now!, which is coming up next, we're going to talk to with Sponge, who's playing tonight at Farm and Park as part of the Sandpoint Summer Music Series, which is family-friendly and free music series that's going on tonight. There you go. I think it starts at 6, mm-hmm. and there you go. Yeah. You guys going to that? Going to the summer series?
Maybe.
Maybe so. With Sponge, S-P-U-N-J.
What kind of music?
I will tell you at 10 o'clock. Turn on your radio.
I'll back in.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's it. We'll play out the with the Supremes, who were at number one on this date in 1964, 60 years ago, with Where Did Our Love Go? And then it'll be time for the second hour of Democracy Now! They're covering the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And after that, stay tuned, and we'll be right back here talking to Sponge at 10 o'clock about their upcoming event tonight. Hey. Well, okay.
Thanks, Jack.
Caitlin Shook of the Panetta Theater and Hannah Combs of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks.
And thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio.